The following program contains views and opinions that do not necessarily reflect those of KMRE staff or of the Spark Museum of Electrical Invention.
We're all here because we have one thing in common, and that's we want to feel safe in school. We deserve the right to an education without fearing for our lives. We're going to make this change, and it's going to happen soon, because no one else should lose their life because someone was able to legally purchase a rifle.
All Americans, whether liberal or conservative, agree that these mass shootings are a tragedy. That is why we need to stop mourning individually and start fighting collectively.
Our teachers supported us, our parents supported us, the police supported us, we talked to the mayor, everyone was supporting us, and we didn't know how it was going to go. So just fight for what you believe in, and it'll make a change.
It's Cascadia News Now. I am Stephanie Contours. Tim Johnson and Dave Willingham have the week off. They will be back next week. You were just listening to some audio clips from the walkout and rally, the student-led walkout and rally that happened this week at City Hall and from all of the high schools in Bellingham. Joining me in the studio tonight, we are honored to have student leaders Mehar Singh and Maggie Davis Bauer. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Along with activist and mother and citizen journalist Liz Darrow.
Hi, Stephanie.
And that was some of the audio. We have a couple of other clips. I do want to let you know that we will be getting as much audio as we can in the next couple of days from the rally up at CascadiaNewsNow.com. So stay tuned if you miss it, because we do want to feature as much of it as we can. So you both organized this event today, and you both spoke at the event. And we are lucky enough to have the speech, Mehar, that you did. So let's go ahead and listen to that first.
My name is Mehar, and I'm a sophomore at Spelicum. So I wanted to share a story with you all that is very close to my heart. So on Sunday, August 5th, 2012, my family and I were running late to go to our local Sikh temple when we heard breaking news. There had been a shooting at the temple. Sikhs were dead, including the shooter. These were people I had grown up with, people I had sat on the floor and eaten with, people that I had prayed with. They were mothers, fathers, grandpas, and grandmas. I will never forget Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and how much of an impact this massacre had. We live in a world that perpetuates so much hate. The man that shot six people in Oak Creek was a white supremacist. But what amazed me about Oak Creek was that they responded to this act of hatred with so much love. They prayed for the man who killed innocent people. They held a 5K run to raise money for one of the victims who was in a coma. They cleaned the bloodstains out of the carpets and painted over the bullets, and they kept praying. They went to legislation, and they fought for change. I know you've heard a lot about gun regulation and school shootings today, which are super important without a doubt, but I want to stress how important love is. It's easy to be angry after events like the Oak Creek shooting and the Parkland shooting happen. Hell, I'm angry. But if we can choose to love one another unconditionally, regardless of race, religion, sexuality, gender, or anything else, then we can unite and fight for what we believe is right. Love is the driving force for change.
That is Mehar Singh, who was one of the leaders and activists and organizers of the Bellingham School walkout and rally at Bellingham City Hall. Mehar Singh and Maggie Davis Bauer, the other organizer, one of the other organizers, joins us in the studio tonight at Cascadia News Now. That was such a powerful and emotional speech. Mehar, I kind of want to ask you, how did you get to be so wise? But that's not really the best way to start, maybe.
That's okay. My parents, honestly, they are amazing. They've raised me to be who I am, obviously. They were refugees from war. They came to this country with nothing but $500, and my dad started off by selling computer parts. They lived in a crappy apartment in New York, and now we're here. And that's just amazing to me. My siblings, both of my siblings are in college, And honestly, coming from that background is so humbling.
And we haven't even addressed, in case anybody is not paying attention, this is in response to the Parkland, Florida shooting. 17 were killed and over 15 were injured at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Is it putting you on the spot to ask you what your first reactions were when you heard that?
For me, I felt it, and I felt it strongly, just like everyone across this country. At first, reading on the internet about just the victims and just this horrible act of violence, I couldn't help but feeling like disempowered, like I didn't have a voice or a right even to speak out, when all of these other, politicians are telling us that thoughts and condolences are enough and that this is not the time to talk about these things.
At first, I felt very numb to it because so many acts of violence like this have happened and it's just like another one. And I hate to say that, but it was like just insane to me how so many of these can happen and Congress does nothing about it.
Absolutely. My son was a baby when Columbine happened, and it was a real shock. He was actually 5 months old, and so as a new mom, I just was horrified, and I felt sympathy for the perpetrators and the families, and it was just such an anomaly at that time. And now my youngest is 8, and it's almost every single day that we hear about, a school shooting or a shooting at a concert or a shooting in a shopping mall. And, my daughter and I were at the rally today, and Maggie told a story, and I don't know if you want to go into it about where she was. Do you want to talk about that? Because that was really
powerful. That is something I would like to address. A year and a half ago, my mom and I were at the Cascade Mall in Burlington shopping for a homecoming dress when a man came running through the store with a rifle, shooting at every person he saw. And we ducked and we hid behind a clothing rack as he ran right past us. It just, for a very, very, very long time after that experience, I was broken. I mean, just completely, it shattered me. And I think, hearing about shooting after shooting after shooting, it just, like, every time my response has just been, like, I feel powerless, I feel weak. Every time I've just kind of slipped into a depression and just haven't been able to function at all, like at school or in my sports or just anything I love, I just could not handle processing those acts of violence.
It stuns me that hearing Maggie this story, it's not something that hasn't ever happened before, but for most people, for most of our history, something like that would be a once-in-a-lifetime event. And something like Columbine, Liz, when you were thinking about your son, that was such an anomaly, right? And such a once-in-a-lifetime. That, to me, is the greatest and most horrific change. The fact that we've had so many, we'll get into how many we've had this year, but that there was one in near Seattle already this year. It's February, and I just have to say I'm so sorry on behalf of America that A, that you had to go through something like that, and B, that that wasn't the only time that you ever had to consider going through something like that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It was Florida last week, but it could have easily been our school or any school across America for that matter. And that's why it is so important that we voice this, because, some people were saying like, oh, this happens in Florida. Like, how does it concern us? It's like, no, this is a direct threat on us. We're no different. And we need to act. You know, students are not feeling safe, and that's getting in their way of their education, which is, you know, the ultimate reason to go to school.
Absolutely. I think that students, and that was what one of the most impactful things from the rally today was seeing kids, you know, middle school and high school kids with signs saying too young to die and, you know, love me more than you love your guns. And it's like that. You are also articulate and self-aware, and I feel embarrassed that that's what it takes, because I think the adults have failed you. You know, this has been going on for almost 20 years pretty consistently, and you're the generation, I think, that will take the wheel, I hope, because your rally today was incredibly powerful and incredibly effective. So I'm grateful to you. Thank you for doing that. I'm embarrassed that we haven't been able to figure this out. I mean, it's long past time to figure this out.
So you talked about in the beginning, you were hurt, you were numb. Take us through that transition between those first reactions and Maggie, particularly what that must have kind of risen in you in terms of memories. How did it go from there to today?
So on Thursday night, I kind of shut down at first hearing about it, and I didn't, because I know my reaction, I know what my reaction has been in the past, and it's just debilitating. But then, you know, people were talking about it. I wanted to get informed. So Thursday night, you know, I loaded up, you know, the news and just kind of looking at the list of the victims and their stories. And, you know, I was sobbing, and, you know, it just felt just so incredibly, like, just, I couldn't process it. I couldn't deal with it. You know, eventually I just went to bed just like having this awful feeling in the pit of my stomach that, like, this is our reality. You know, this is the world we live in. How does anyone think that's okay? But then Friday morning, you know, I felt like, I think so many, which is I think just amazing, is so many people across America have just felt like this is absolutely enough. This is it, and shouldn't take this many, but for us to decide that, but just there's something about this one that was just okay, like, that's, we can't let this happen again. And I felt this feeling of empowerment and resilience and determination that I had never felt before in terms of this issue. And you know, I figured other people might, and you know, it's worth a chance to see if they're feeling it too. And so Friday I made a post on Facebook and Instagram, and you know, I just kind of threw out or suggested the idea of organizing, you know, a protest just to kind of see what people would think. And I could not believe, like, the results was just amazing.
You are the person who started what happened in Bellingham. And one thing that I really want to impress on people is how many of us in the older generations, when we see horrors like this, our first response is sometimes to have that numbness, but to stay there, and mm-hmm. then to say, well, what do I do? And the fact that you are a junior and you just did it, that is so huge. Were you scared to make that post?
Absolutely. It was, you know, it was a big social risk for me. I'm, you know, I wouldn't say I'm the most outspoken person. I tend to be more reserved. And so to me, it was a risk, you know, it was a social risk posting this. I had no idea, like, if I'd get backlash for this, what, you know, because people are just everywhere on the political spectrum. But just, I think it really, really speaks to my community, the response that I did get.
Which was,
you know, people I'd never met before messaging me saying they are in total support and, like, what can we do to help?
So you are not most likely to be an activist at Qualicum High School. That's not how people see
you. That's not my role. That hasn't been my role at Qualicum. No, I tend to keep my opinions more to myself.
And Mehar, how did you get involved, or what was your transition?
Well, I was feeling, like a lot of other people, really powerless. And I didn't know what to do, and I was thinking, you know, like, what are we going to do about this? And I saw Maggie's post, and all of a sudden it, like, flipped a switch in my brain. I was like, wait, there's so much that we can do about this. Like, I don't have to feel powerless. We all don't have to feel powerless. Like, so we all met at Maggie's house 2 days ago, on Monday. 24 people, I think, all met, and we had, most of us didn't really know each other that well, all from different schools, and we just bonded so much, and we had really great discussions, and it was just amazing. It was an amazing experience getting to talk to all of these people, all from different backgrounds, completely diverse, and just being able to all agree on one thing, and that is that we need to have safety in schools.
So here you are with people you don't know that well. There's a lot of social anxiety in high school, as Maggie said. Was it difficult to start organizing?
For me, it was like all of a sudden I had, you know, 20 plus people coming over to my house that many of whom I've never met or just had, you know, one or two casual conversations with. And, you know, I was having them over at my home, and just all of a sudden this was happening. And I would say it took a little while to get the ball rolling. You know, when people first showed up, I was kind of like, oh, like, I'm glad you're here. But then I just kind of retreated a little bit because I, you know, obviously was really, it was a big step for me. It was not in my comfort zone at all, to say the least.
You both have such incredible courage because you acted anyway, right? And it was so powerful that you acted anyway. So thank you for the entire city of Bellingham and Whatcom County. All of us older folks are standing and applauding you all over today. Tell us about the rally itself.
So we gathered at around noon, and we had a lineup of speakers, all from different backgrounds, speaking to different issues that were important to them. And we had just this sea full of people that were there to support each other. Just, you could feel the energy. Like I said in my speech, you could feel the energy that, like, this is a movement. This is people demanding action together. And I think our speeches just really hit home with people, and just covered so many different issues and so many different considerations. And I was so proud for the speakers. I mean, speaking in front of I've heard estimates of 2,000 people. And, you know, many of these people don't have, you know, like me, don't have that kind of experience. And just, you know, speaking to things that are really important and also very personal to them, and in front of all of these people, I was so proud. And, you know, I was so proud of the turnout, how we had middle schoolers organizing themselves in probably like one day, I would say. And we got a huge turnout from middle schools, from high schools that weren't even in our district, just all here because this was important to them.
So Mehar, the turnout was huge, mm-hmm. and that's powerful, and feeling surrounded and uplifted. Do you think it may have been effective?
I think so. I really think so. When we first started organizing, I don't think we had any idea that Como 4 News would be involved, that we would be mentioned in the New York Times. Like, we had no idea that was going to be, like, the reaction to this. We just thought maybe a couple hundred people would show up. Not even, like, we really had no idea. And I think this subject really hits home with a lot of people because it's affecting all of us, our teachers, our parents, our students, our administrators, everyone. And I think this protest was really effective in getting the ball rolling and making it, like, giving people a platform to demand action.
And Liz, you are a mom, which also breaks my heart to think about being a mom in this world, in this situation. And you took your very young daughter to the rally. So what did you think? What did she think?
Well, that's tough. My daughter is 8, and my husband and I have been through almost 20 years of parenting, and we've just sort of come to find out that kids deserve to know the truth, and the earlier they know the truth, the more they feel empowered to do something about it. So we asked her if she wanted to participate in the walkout and rally, and she said she did. So I emailed her teacher, who was very supportive, and then I did get some backlash from parents who felt that this was going to cause some problems for their own kids, which surprised me because I think that, everyone wants to think it's not going to happen to them. And I think that's naive. And I think all of those 17 children who died, all of the hundreds of thousands of people who die from gun violence every day are not less valuable than myself and my family. And it's hard. I had a feeling even going to the rally that in itself is a little bit dangerous because people who feel strongly about having guns, in my mind, are not the most rational people at this point because it doesn't make any sense to me that a gun would equal something more important than all of these lives. So my position is that, my 8-year-old deserves to have a voice. And also the unintended consequence of that is that she heard a lot of real stories from passionate young people who aren't afraid to tell the truth. And that's hard. It's hard for her to hear that Maggie was in Macy's and someone came in with a gun because she's been to Macy's and it makes it very real. But I don't think that we do our kids any favors by sheltering them because it could be, I hate to say it, but it could be her school. It could be Squalicum. It's just at this point, it's kind of the luck of the draw even leaving your house anymore. So that needs to change. But until it does, I want my kids to understand the whole picture.
You're listening to Cascadia News Now. That's Liz Darrow, and also in the studio, student leaders Mehar Singh and Maggie Davis Bauer. Liz, I thought that a letter had gone out to all of the parents of the school.
Well, my daughter is in second grade. She also goes to Cedar Tree Montessori, so we are very, very sheltered from the quote-unquote real world. And that's something that I struggle with because I don't ethically necessarily agree with that. But as a student, my daughter does best in that environment. But I think that's why some parents felt like they could shelter their children from this information. And it isn't as if my daughter or even the teachers at her school made any announcements about it. I think it's just the very realness of participating in action about gun violence when you're an 8-year-old. I think for a lot of people that is that seems like it's too much, but there were younger kids. There were kids as young, I would say, as 4, and this affects all of us. So I think it was important. We both were really emotional. The speeches were powerful, and it's something that we'll continue talking about. And I don't want her to live in fear, but I want her to know that that we have a culture that values guns more than children, and that's something that we won't be able to change it until we can own it.
And she is being raised by an activist mom, as was I, and I think that I'm the better for it, so good on you. Did she express interest herself? Did you ask her?
We did. I made the decision to tell her it was happening when I saw Mehar got linked up with a Facebook group that I'm a part of, the Riveters Collective, and so that's how I found out initially about the action. And I think, we could have just let it go. I would have gone no matter what. I love a good rally. I'm always always happy to attend. But, we made the decision to give her the choice because I think it's something that she'll remember forever. And I don't want her to wonder why we kept information from her. We don't have a television at home. We don't watch news. So the only opportunity for information that she has is from us. And that's a huge responsibility.
And I can see where some parents may have thought, like you said, their children were too young. And on one hand, I'm like, well, but you have the choice to raise your child the way that you want to. And other parents have the choice to say, no, my child's too young. But if you pull Bijou out of a very small Montessori school, it's not like, oh, she was sick one day. Somebody's going to have to give an explanation. So it gets...
That's right. And that is, I own that responsibility because she did say that some kids had asked her and she's a really frank kid. And so she gave a brief but honest answer. But also there were helicopters all day. And so some kids had asked about that. And so it's like, well, the reality is that, the good news about this story is that students are taking taking this opportunity to speak out about what matters to them, and their lives are more important than guns, and that isn't a negative message. And so we really highlighted the activism against gun violence over the details about Parkland, but that's part of the story too.
I went to a pretty violent school in California, or a pretty school with a lot more violence than I think Bellingham has, but today is so different than those of us who are my age or older. Can you both, Mehar and Maggie, can you give us a little sort of picture of what is it like to walk into a school every day?
I think, you know, when I was young, I think these shootings weren't happening as often. And so I didn't think it was a thing, you know, I didn't think it was a thing that, you know, someone could just come into a school and shoot dozens of people. I couldn't wrap my brain around that, which, you know, I think that's good. That's what we should want is kids, like, why should kids have to, like, why should this have to be a reality for them? It really shouldn't. And so, you know, I really wasn't aware of the risk of mass shootings until, I think, you know, the shooting that happened at Pulse really was a big wake-up call. And then, you know, my own experience made me realize that, like, I am just as much as vulnerable to this as anyone, you know, because it's so easy and it's so comfortable to say, oh, it's not going to be me, you know, like, how could it be me? But the reality is, it's, you know, like, it's luck of the draw, really, in this country.
And Mehar, you may have a different perspective because you are a person of color and there's been a lot of hate crimes on top of the danger of school shootings.
Well, I grew up in a very conservative town in Wisconsin, and that was really difficult for me. I was bullied as a kid when I went to Montessori school. Again, the school was very, very white, and I always knew that there was something different about me, and I never really figured it out until I was older. And when I moved to Bellingham, it was such a huge change, because here people are so liberal, and it was just really different. And I feel very safe in this town. I always have, and it feels like home for me. And of course, there's always going to be issues on diversity in schools and all that, but I feel like I can be safe here.
Do you feel like you are generally wary when you're in school?
I don't think, I haven't felt that way a lot. But when things like the Parkland shooting happen, that's when I start to feel it. But usually I don't feel unsafe walking into school. But then again, anything can happen, so.
I wonder if either of you felt unsafe by the presence of the counter-protest today at the rally. That was the first time that I felt like this could go very, very wrong. What were you both thinking when you saw those signs?
I just thought it was disrespectful. I wasn't as much afraid because I knew that there were so many people there that supported our cause. There were police officers there. And the police department stressed that they didn't want us to feel unsafe, and they wanted to make sure that nothing bad would happen to us for standing up for what we believe in. I was just mostly annoyed that they were there and just kind of hurt and frustrated.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, having the reassurance of police there was really great, and obviously what we wanted. But for me, you know, my mind was still going to, like, I might die tomorrow. That was a real thought of mine that, you know, kept me awake last night, that I addressed with my parents when I couldn't sleep. You know, I would feel awful if we were responsible for something that became, you know, an act of violence and perpetration of hate, when this is really, like, in its entirety supposed to be about love and peace. And so, you know, that it was a threat, you know, it was a danger.
You are listening to KMRE 102.3 FM Bellingham and 102.5 KAVZ in Deming, Van Zandt, Cascadia News Now. I'm Stephanie Contours in the studio with Liz Darrow and the organizers and student leaders of the Walkout and Student Rally today, Mehar Singh and Maggie Davis Boer. Liz, you have brought up a counter rally, and I don't know that that got a lot of press. So will you explain to us, all three of you, what was that like?
Well, what I saw was about half a dozen high school, I assume, boys with signs that said taking away guns is not the answer and arm all teachers. And I agree with Mehar. It was so disrespectful. And
How many?
I think about six or seven, not many. Very many. Mm-hmm. And then they started shouting right after the moment of silence, or even maybe during the moment of silence, which was really hurtful. Uh-huh. Taking guns is not the answer, I think, is what they were shouting. And then at some point, a couple of grown-ups sort of got them out of the center because they were right in the center. And then what I observed was an adult was kind of trying to talk to them about how this isn't respectful or appropriate, because a lot of people had told, like I said, personal stories. Mehar and Maggie had both shared their own experience with gun violence, and so it clearly is not the place, even though it is legal and it's their constitutional right. It seemed like it was pretty crummy.
And I think the fact that you brought up having the rally itself was a fear, or mm-hmm. the fact that something could happen because people are so polarized about this issue.
Yeah, you know, there wasn't 100% guarantee of safety at all. You know, people still have access to these guns that they should not have access to, and so that was scary. I think we were told that people might be there with rifles on them. That was I don't remember who informed us. I think, Mehar, do you know who?
It might have been the sheriff.
I think
said that.
That there may have been, or there actually were.
There might be people that there showed up.
We were warned this the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's so ironic that they're showing up at a rally that's about peace, it's about safety. You know, I don't think it's wherever your political view is, I don't think it's that much of a debate about whether students should feel safe in schools. I don't think that's really open for a lot of debate. So the fact that they're coming to a rally that's overall embodying that idea, even though, you know, political ideas were expressed, you know, from different backgrounds, that was the overall idea, and that they would come with acts of, you know, trying to intimidate. And so that's what we were warned, and that was very scary for, you know, us.
So did the, I mean, other than seeing counter protesters and the fact that they were yelling during a moment of silence, which I can't even get over that. Did you feel threatened by them? Did they seem threatening?
I knew some of the kids that were there, and the, mm-hmm. they wouldn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all talk, honestly.
Did you take any safety precautions? You said you talked to the sheriff. Did they help you with any kind of procedures?
We did, you know, have a lot of police there, but I don't know if there was a discussion about what to do should violence arise. You know, I think they made it clear to us to communicate to our fellow students this is a peaceful protest, so not, you know, having, not coming from a place of, like, violence that on our behalf is very important. But I don't think that there was a discussion of an exact plan to take.
It did not stop any of you from making some of the most powerful and impassioned speeches, not of students, of anyone I've ever heard. So let's listen to another student. This is Adam Carlson, and he is from Squalicum.
20 children and 6 teachers died. I thought it would be the last one, the final straw to get something done, to finally put an end to school shootings. Instead, the opposite happened. Gun sales boomed. Rhetoric for one side and another brewed malice and more conflict. And more and more and more school shootings happened as the years happened. 345 in 2017. No more. I've seen signs at today's protest with 3 simple words on them. How many more? How many more people need to needlessly die before lawmakers decide to do something about it? Think about Sandy Hook again. 20 children died, scared in their own classrooms. If that's not the limit, I don't know what is. And if that's not the limit, I don't want to know what the limit is. If you couldn't take action to prevent the lives of children from being lost, what can make you take action? So here we are after yet another school shooting. My heart goes out to the families of the victims of Parkland, and I hate to say it, but my thoughts and prayers are with them. But thoughts and prayers aren't enough. Not anymore. We as students have to take action. If it's our lives on the line, it's our time to make a change. I reached my limit a long time ago. It's time for the rest of the nation to reach theirs. No more. And I'm not saying that banning guns is the way to go. I own a gun. There's a gun in my house. I exercise my own Second Amendment rights. But the Second Amendment is outdated. Owning a hunting rifle or a .22, that's part of American culture and creed. It's not something to be thrown out the window. But does the right to bear arms extend to military weapons and machines beyond the Founding Fathers' wildest dreams? When James Madison wrote the Bill of Rights, he had a musket in mind, not an AR-15. Times have changed since the Constitution was written in 1789. It's time we change too. As times change, our laws should change. As times change, our views should change. And as times change, we should change. No more. Enough is enough. It's time for comprehensive gun reform. The gun show loophole is archaic and has no place in a modern, safe America. How can we be safe if any random person can get a gun without a background check? How can children be safe with a loaded, unlocked gun in their house? How can schools be safe in an America that cares more about the right to own a gun than the right for children and teachers to live? As the son of 2 teachers, my parents stand with our movement. They would be here if they could. They support our movement and our change. No more. Consider these 3 simple words again. How many more? There's only one answer to that question, and it is 0. Not a single person should have to die to make the change we need. Not a single child or student should have to die in their classroom. Sandy Hook wasn't the end, and maybe this will be. Maybe this will be what we finally need to get our change through. And maybe it won't be. And even if it's not, we still stand up for what we believe in, and what we need, and what is right. No more. Thank you.
Cascadia News Now, I'm Stephanie Contouris, and having a pretty intense discussion in the studio with me tonight, Liz Darrow. who is a mother and an activist, and the organizers from the student walkout and the student-led rally at Bellingham City Hall, Maggie Davis Bauer and Mehar Singh. So you have this powerful rally, and we're going to talk about what next steps. On this show before, we have talked about the Women's March and whether or not that went anywhere. And so we'll talk about that some, but let's take a quick look at how this fits in with our Washington government right now. I want to point out that the state of Washington does not have an assault ban, a ban on assault weapons at this moment. I also want to point out, in terms of Florida, that the other group of powerful students in Florida rode on a bus to City Hall, to the state capitol, and the Florida state lawmakers voted down a measure to purchase assault rifles as the students were headed down on a bus today. So Florida, that's going to go on for some time. Meanwhile, in Washington State, we have already had a legislative body this year that has wanted to take some things on. I'm going to run through some bills really fast. Do not worry about remembering the numbers. They will all go up on our website, CascadiaNewsNow.com. But we do have in the Senate 5050, which is 5050, banning the state of assault weapons and large capacity magazines. That is in the Law and Justice Committee. It was sponsored in part by the 40th Senator Kevin Ranker. And Jamie Peterson and the new Manka Dingra are leading the Senate Law and Justice Committee. 5992 will ban bump stocks, which allow for rapid fire. 5463 is about the safe storage of firearms at home. 6298, something the NRA is particularly worked up about, would expand the definition of domestic violence that prevents people from buying handguns to include harassment. And one of the other big contentious ones is 5444, which would require enhanced background checks to buy so-called assault rifles. We have those for handguns, but not assault rifles. So right now, you have to be 21 years old to purchase a handgun. There's a waiting period so that law enforcement can run a background check. And the bill 5444 would classify semi-automatic rifles as assault weapons and prohibit their sale. Before this happened, before Florida and before this rally, how much of that had been on your radar?
Not at all.
And is it on your radar now?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, definitely.
And had you ever contacted any of your state representatives before or your senators?
No,
so
no.
So that's interesting. I also want to point out, you both go to Squalicum, mm-hmm. which is up the Sunset area. So you are almost certainly in the 42nd Legislative District, which is a very conservative-led district. Your state senator is Doug Erickson, and your representatives are Vincent Bies and Luann Van Werven. Coincidentally enough, they just had a town hall up in Blaine last week. They were asked at the town hall about gun violence in public schools, and they said it was a mental health issue, and they suggested armed guards in schools. Reaction?
No. Adding more guns doesn't solve the problem. Simple.
Yeah, I don't think teachers should have to train to like deal with mass shootings. I don't think that's should be in their job description. You know, even if they're trained, they have firearms, that doesn't prevent violent people with other firearms coming in and shooting many people first before they can even get involved. So this is not a solution, it's a distraction.
Right.
So if you were to go to high school and there was an armed guard at the door of high school, you're not going to feel safer.
Oh, absolutely.
No.
No. I was talking to one of my teachers. She'll remain nameless, but she told me that if she had to work at a school where there would be armed guards or where teachers would have to learn to use a gun, she would not be working at that school anymore.
I'm curious to know, without outing anybody, can you talk about the conversations that the school staff and teachers have been having, and what's your sense of them?
I think the staff has been very supportive, because this is not just an issue that affects students, it affects teachers, it affects administrators. They've been really supportive of us, and regardless of whether they agree with it or not, they still have not stopped us from doing any of the stuff that we're doing.
Yeah, I would agree. So after the protest, a group of us, the Students for Action, we went back to Squalicum to peacefully hold the signs we made. We weren't vocal. We just stood there, and then we walked in to one of the teachers at our school that I will also not name names, but he is just an incredible man at our school. And so we sat down just, you know, classroom style and had a discussion about this. And it was really incredible to see his support. And, you know, I think we just have so many staff that want to support us in this, you know, because this is obviously their issue too. You know, this is their issue too.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. I have seen that the district sent out several emails, and why I saw them, I'm not sure. I think I'm still in the district-wide email from when my son graduated last year. But anyway, I think for the most part that teachers were supportive. I did notice a couple of sentences about, you know, we expect students to remain in school and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think the staff seemed really supportive. And at my daughter's school, you know, even though it's not in the public district, they were really supportive. And I know that some of her teachers were also at the rally who weren't scheduled to work today. So I think as a community, it's kind of it's a no-brainer, right? It's like, of course, we all acknowledge that you're too young to die and want to do whatever we can to protect you and everyone in our community from gun violence. So it's listening to you say all of those bill numbers, it's so frustrating that there have to be so many pieces. Bills, so many different, you know, it's like just enough already, you know, like that's how I feel, is that there just should not be assault rifles. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that's so hard, but.
So I remember there was always kind of a distance between me and teachers. Do you feel like in some ways it must be really awkward to be a teacher as an adult and have to come and be a professional and also have a whole bundle of emotions that they themselves are dealing with? Do you feel like it sort of breaks down that wall between students and teachers?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that regardless of whether you're on the conservative spectrum or the liberal spectrum or whatever, we can all agree that we should feel safe at school, and gun violence is unacceptable in any shape or way or form. And I think having open discussions with teachers about that, people that you spend time with every day, that you're in classes with for hours, it's important to have those kind of discussions. And I don't think it's a political issue necessarily, so teachers shouldn't get in trouble for that kind of thing.
And Liz, how are you sending your daughter to school right now? How are you able to do that?
Well, I'll admit that I felt more nervous about gun violence when my son was at Sea Home because it's a bigger school. And there were a couple of instances while he was in high school, not with active shooters, but people with guns on the property or whatever. And you know, and still, even though he's 19 and he goes to Whatcom, every time he walks through the door, I'm relieved because he goes to a lot of places on his own, first of all, because he's an adult, and places that are more crowded. And so I do feel like my daughter is safer being in a smaller community, but I think I just tell myself that because I'm naive and because otherwise I wouldn't be able to. You know, I asked her after the rally today if she wanted to go back to school, and she did because it was PE. But on the way back, you know, she was asking me, am I safe at school, you know, because she's got to think about this, you know, and I've got to think about it, and there's no guarantee, you know, so the only answer that I can give her is I hope you are, you know. I can't say anything for sure anymore, and I think as a parent that's it's really frustrating and it's really sad, you know, to be raising kids in a world where I can't protect them. Mm-hmm. Because of course that's what I want to do, right?
I can't imagine. And my heart goes out to you. And it goes out to you guys who have to go into school every day and maybe look at the windows and the doors in a way that you didn't look at them, you know, in years past. So you know about this legislative issues and the bills and what your own state representatives, their positions are. Where do you go from here with your post-rally selves?
I think that the group that we started out with is only going to grow from here. I know there are a lot of people that want to be on board with us, that want to help us. I think we're going to keep meeting, keep brainstorming solutions. I think everyone is a little bit tired today and our brains are kind of fried, but we're just ready to make some change, and this was just the first step. So. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And actually, there are Students for Action are currently gathered in my house, actually, right now, talking about what we're going to do in the future and just coming together as really a family. We had a big group hug after this event and, you know, just all confided in each other, you know, kind of debriefed about what happened, our reactions to it, our emotions. And I think, you know, we are tired, but that doesn't mean that we are not motivated.
Exactly.
I think we feel more motivated than ever.
So how many organizers about were there? I mean, you said there was different schools involved.
Yeah, we had a turnout of 24 students on Monday representing all four schools in the district and all grade levels.
Wow. That's
fantastic.
Powerful.
That's awesome.
So any ideas so far about what your next steps could be?
Well, the principal at the high school in Florida it may have been the teacher, reached out to, I think, my mom on Facebook, telling us that these students are going back to school next week. And so I think, you know, as a group, we've kind of come together and thought, like, what can we do, you know, to lessen this? I mean, I could not imagine, you know, seeing those empty desks, those, you know, those lives that will never, you just can never compensate for that. And, so kind of what can we do as a group over the weekend to reach out to them and to show them that we are with them and that we want to make their transition back to their school as easy as possible, as I believe, you know, so many people, you know, across America want.
I think that, you know, the protest may be over for us, but this is never going to be over for the families and the students that were affected in Parkland. It's never going to be over for them, and it's going to keep affecting them for the rest of their lives. So we just want to do what we can to be there for them and to reach out to them and show them that we're here for them.
I think that's so powerful, and I know that people are reaching out all over the country, but for them to hear from their peers from across the country and to see, like you said, that you were on national media, for them to know that they are not walking out alone, that they're not going to their legislators alone, that they're not in a vacuum, that students are rising up all over the nation, that may be one of the most powerful things you can do. So aside from reaching out to them, do you have any interest in, trying not to lead you, but do you have any interest in weighing in on some of the legislation that's happening in Washington State?
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Has there been any talk about, we have a very short legislative session, but some of these bills are in, these are the bills that passed, and so some didn't, but these are the bills that are in committee. Has there been any talk, or have you worked with people who can drive, who might be interested in taking you down to lobby?
I think there was talk of it, and we're interested, for sure. We need to figure out details, but I'm sure that would be something that we'd want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That is something that I would love to address with the group.
And again, I bring that up very tentatively because I am an activist. I've been to Olympia a bunch of times. But this, I can't stress this enough, this is your movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be your movement. And Liz and I, boy, we have been around the block in terms of rallies and organizing and activism and writing letters. But this is a chance for new vision. And I will be the first to say that many of the things we have done have obviously not worked. Mm-hmm. Many of the things we've done have not been enough. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you are approaching this with new eyes
and so much passion. I mean, it was just so moving to see how, like you said, people of all different backgrounds showed up for each other and gave some of the testimonies were really hard to give, but it is this, I can just see this momentum and I'm so grateful and excited for it because I feel like we've sort of been asleep for a really long time and maybe in denial as a nation that we let our culture get to this point where kids have to show up and say, you know, enough is enough. And it's simple and real, and there's just no arguing with it. I can't imagine if you went to Olympia that it wouldn't be as moving and powerful. So that makes me feel excited too. But I think whatever you all do, like Stephanie said, it's so important that it's student-led because you clearly know what you're doing. And so for me, it's like I just want to get out of the way and give you so much sideline support because you're nailing it.
Thank you. I've heard rumblings that this organization, I can't remember the name right now, is coming up with money to send two students to Washington, D.C., and chaperones.
From here?
From here, yeah. So whoever that might be. Obviously Maggie, so.
Well, actually, we as a group have discussed finding a way to, as a group, go to mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. to participate in nationwide things. And, you know, I think with the support that we're being shown, it's a real possibility.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
I think that would be so amazing if we could take our voice from Bellingham to Washington, D.C., and, you know, address the issue with more action.
It's our last minute, and I want to give you this stage and the floor. What do you want people to hear or know or think about?
I want people to remember that this isn't a political issue. It's not about whether you're a Democrat or Republican. It's about school safety and about not wanting to lose another life.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that there are many arguments about schools, students being able to go into a school and feel safe. I don't think that's something that should be open for debate.
Mm-hmm. Maggie Davis-Bauer and Mehar Singh, we are so incredibly honored and touched that you joined us today, especially after a long, exhausting couple of days. You really grace us, and you give some older folks some hope, and we can't appreciate you enough. Thank you so much for being on the show. Liz, my heart goes out to you as a mother and activist. Also, thank you for coming after a busy day.
Thanks.
And I want to give a thank you especially to everyone on the Cascadia News Now team. Liz, for reaching out to the student organizers and for being here at the last minute. A huge thank you to Brooks Collins, who got our audio also at the last minute. Dave Willingham, our technical director. A huge thank you to our engineer, Devlin Sweeney. And this has been one of the most emotional shows I've ever done, and hopefully it is one of the most powerful. You can give us feedback at Cascadia News Now. And also, we will put up more audio there. If you care about this kind of programming, if you care about young voices and other voices, please go to savekmre.org. You have been listening to Cascadia News Now on KAVZ 102.5 in Deming, Van Zandt, and KMRE 102.3 FM in Bellingham.